Under the Banner of Heaven, A Story of Violent Faith by John Krakauer, read by Scott Brick. We believe in honesty, morality, and purity. But when they enact tyrannical laws forbidding us the free exercise of our religion, we cannot submit. God is greater than the United States, and when the government conflicts with heaven, we will be ranged under the banner of heaven and against the government. Polygamy is a divine institution. It has been handed down direct from God. The United States cannot abolish it. No nation on earth can prevent it, nor all the nations of the earth combined. I defy the United States. I will obey God. John Taylor, on January 4th, 1880, President, Prophet, Seer, and Revelator, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No Western nation is as religion-soaked as ours, where 9 out of 10 of us love God and are loved by Him in return. That mutual passion centers our society and demands some understanding, if our doom-eager society is to be understood at all. Harold Bloom, The American Religion. Prologue. Almost everyone in Utah County has heard of the Lafferty Boys. That's mostly a function of the lurid murders, of course, but the Lafferty surname had a certain prominence in the county even before Brenda and Erica Lafferty were killed. Watson Lafferty, the patriarch of the clan, was a chiropractor who ran a thriving practice out of his home in downtown Provo's historic quarter. He and his wife Claudine had 6 boys and 2 girls, in whom they instilled an unusually strong work ethic and intense devotion to the Mormon Church. The entire family was admired for their industriousness and probity. Alan, the youngest of the Lafferty children, now in his mid-40s, works as a tile setter, a trade he has plied since he was a teenager. In the summer of 1984, he was living with his 24-year-old wife and baby daughter in American Fork, a sleepy, white-bread suburb alongside the freeway that runs from Provo to Salt Lake City. Brenda, his spouse, was a one-time beauty queen recognized around town from her tenure as the anchor of a news magazine program on Channel 11, the local PBS affiliate. Although she had abandoned her nascent broadcasting career to marry Alan and start a family, Brenda had lost none of the exuberance that had endeared her to television viewers. Warm and outgoing, she'd made a lasting impression. On the morning of July 24th, 1984, Alan left their small duplex apartment before the sun was up and drove 80 miles up the interstate to work at a construction site east of Ogden. During his lunch break, he phoned Brenda, who chatted with him for a minute before putting their 15-month-old daughter, Erica, on the line. Erica gurgled a few words of baby talk. Then Brenda told her husband everything was fine and said goodbye. Alan arrived home around 8 that evening, tired from the long workday. He walked up to the front door and was surprised to find it locked. They almost never locked their doors. He used his key to enter and then was surprised again by the baseball game blaring from the television in the living room. Neither he nor Brenda liked baseball. They never watched it. After he'd turned off the TV, the apartment seemed preternaturally quiet to him, as though nobody was home. Alan figured Brenda had taken the baby and gone out. "I turned to go and see if maybe she was at the neighbor's," he explained later, "and I noticed some blood near the door on a light switch." And then he saw Brenda in the kitchen, sprawled on the floor in a lake of blood. Upon calling Brenda's name and getting no reply, he knelt beside her and put his hand on her shoulder. "I touched her," he said, "and her body felt cool. There was blood on her face and pretty much everywhere." Alan reached for the kitchen phone, which was resting on the floor next to his wife, and dialed 911 before he realized there was no dial tone. The cord had been yanked from the wall. As he walked to their bedroom to try the extension in there, he glanced into the baby's room and saw Erica slumped over in her crib in an odd position, motionless. She was wearing nothing but a diaper, which was soaked with blood, as were the blankets surrounding her. Alan hurried to the master bedroom only to find the phone in there out of order as well, so he went next door to a neighbor's apartment where he was finally able to call for help. He described the carnage to the 911 dispatcher, then called his mother. While he waited for the police to show up, Alan returned to his apartment. "I went to Brenda and I prayed," he said. "And then as I stood, I surveyed the situation